today with us we have Lee Stackpool.
Hello.
And Alan Bulger.
Hello.
And we're going to be joined by Richard and James very shortly on the phones. And today's episode, we're talking about what we've been watching, and it feels like forever since we've done one of these. So we're going to have loads to talk about, aren't we? I feel like.
We have. I've done a few, you know, but a few man of rewatches.
Oh, yeah? Go on, do you want to start then?
I'm so just limited to three, do you reckon?
Should we stick it to three?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I can do my three.
Go for it.
And I'll try and keep it as fresh and not, like, repeat anything that I may have mentioned in previous ones or touched on. But this is the latest series, come back on Netflix. And you know, maybe it hasn't been given the credit and billing it deserves, because it's been a successful series now, fourth series, which for Netflix is some life expectancy. Mm. And it's The Sinner. I've mentioned it a couple of times before, various seasons. And season four is off to, like, an amazing one.
So what's the premise of it like? What's the story?
In a way, the cop here, played by Bill Pullman, you know, the president's out of Independence Day.
Yep.
He's a copper with a bit of a dark streak. Don't really want to spoil too much, like, but it doesn't pull its punches on some of the scenes of, like, what he likes. He's a bit of a masochist.
Mm.
And that's a recurring theme in all three series. But he always seems to end up spotting something on the big cases, maybe because he's a little bit jaded himself. And series four starts off, it's set on that. He's semi-retired. In fact, he's completely retired now, but ends up investigating stuff privately for this family on this island. And it feels like, I mean, the last series of Midnight Mass, obviously.
Oh, right, yeah.
That, it's on that small Atlantic fishing island, which is a little bit sinister looking. And this takes place in a very similar little island. It's a fishing town, and a girl goes missing.
Did you watch Midnight Mass?
I did, yeah. Loved it. Really loved it. And this, I'm only two episodes in, so he's already, even though he's retired, he's supposed to be taking medication to help balance his compulsions and things. And he's off that medicine, and he's investigating this case, but he's having visions of this girl. I don't spoil anymore, but it already feels like a strong series. The third series was good. I think I didn't binge watch it as much as I should have. I binge watched series one, series two, so it had that sort of, like, when I was watching the first series of True Detective, I just binge watched it like a film, and it had that feel to it. Probably spent a little bit too long watching the third series, so I didn't felt I'd enjoyed it as much as the others. But I think my timing of I was watching other things in between, catching an episode here and there, so I wasn't able to get me head around. But I'm going to binge a few episodes of it tonight with my girlfriend, because it's one we both like, and it's a strong series.
Yeah. Who else is in it? Do we know anyone else? Like,
Jessica Hecht is his missus, who we met in series three. There's no other recurring characters in it.
All right.
From series one, two, and three. Because, like I say, he's no longer part of his police department. So his work colleagues aren't there no more. But if you like your investigations with a bit of a jaded sort of anti-hero character, this is for you. Like, and he's genuinely, Bill Pullman's face in all of them, he's genuinely got that tormented, haunted face all the way through. he never has a good day, like, he never looks like he's having a nice time.
Yeah.
But he's, he always seems to spot what's going on in these big cases, and that's this one.
Mm.
So my first recommendation.
Sounds good stuff.
Okay.
Any more?
Yeah, I also watched, I can't remember whether we mentioned this before on the horror, it's The Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah.
And it's a spin-off of the Conjuring films, loosely.
It does sound familiar.
Someone who's been part of the Conjuring films, enough for them to show the Annabelle doll and not it be copyright infringement. So I'm going to have to look at the credits, made this film. And do you know what? It's got enough jumps in it.
Yeah.
For it to be passable. I wouldn't say it's like shock and horror, but
I've seen it. I think I've seen all the Conjuring film universe stuff. But I can remember watching, I think that was alright, but I can't remember anything hardly about it.
Yeah. It's got them Conjuring set scenes of, like, someone's looking through something and you're like, are they gonna see something? and then like they go to see something.
Or something.
Do you
know,
the one that sticks out the most in memory is probably the nun. That's probably the shittest.
Is that, was it? Yeah. Is that part of The Conjuring? Yeah. Okay. I've only seen the first one.
It's got like these rubbishy jump scares that like they're predictable, but I don't know. It's just, I remember watching it in the cinema and everyone just howling.
It was so cheesy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That lad who's like the village hunk. Isn't it set in like 19 or whatever or something? Yeah, it's just, it's like, it's one of them films you throw on. I think me and Deb watched it on a Friday night while I was just sitting there having a beer, and it's just one of them. Like, you're just sort of watching it, aren't you? You're not really like going to be terrified. You're just like,
they've made loads, though. The money.
They've made a few.
It's them types of films. I think I was listening to Mark Moe talking about it, or it was the Empire podcast, I think, and he was saying about like the certain films that you want to watch in the pictures, and like horror films like that are perfect because you want to watch it with other people, and that's why the cinemas will never go away, because you always want to watch these films with an audience, basically, don't you? You know, you want to like be involved in. Like you say, like it was a good time for everyone, wasn't it? When you were watching it, laughing their heads off at it and things like that.
And so it just wouldn't be quite the same at home.
Just watching it on streaming.
Especially if you're by yourself, you'd just be like,
Great, thanks for that, yeah. But yeah, I've only ever watched the first one, The Conjuring. I haven't watched any of those, any spin-offs or anything like that.
I've not gone out of my way to watch them, but somehow I've just said to watch them anyway,
I always say I'm going to watch them on Halloween, never get around to them. Always end up watching something else.
But they're all right movies, I think. I've seen the last one, The Devil Made Me Do It. That was all right.
That's right. Passable films, just not outstanding. Do what they need to.
Yeah.
Sounds? All right, Al, have you got any for us? Lee's now left us, so right. It's all on you. It's on your shoulders.
It's on my shoulders. So I've not seen many movies. Usually it's the way around. I see loads of movies, don't see many series.
Yeah.
Right, so where to start? Right, Euphoria. Have you heard of this?
I've heard the name, obviously.
Oh my god!
Go on.
Oh my word!
Isn't there controversy about this or something?
Yeah.
Isn't it because it's?
It is graphic as anything. I think it's the most graphic thing I've ever seen on telly.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So what? So what's this on?
It's on Sky in the UK. It must be on HBO Max or something in America. I'm not sure. I watch it on Now TV.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can imagine, Requiem for a Dream meets 13 Reasons Why. So it's got Tom Holland's girlfriend
Zendaya. MJ.
I don't only know it from Spider-Man and Limp Sync Battle, because she's on that actual Tom Holland episode.
Oh, is she? She was in Dune as well, wasn't she?
She's got star quality. She's awesome. So she's like the narrator, if you like.
Oh, Greatest Showman as well. She's done that.
Was she?
Yeah. Didn't realise.
God, I'm sorry.
Because she definitely listens.
It's just right. So a few people recommended it to me, and the few people who've recommended it to me are probably the sort of people who definitely not should be watching it whatsoever, because it is so graphic in its portrayal of things. And thing with like, right, Requiem for a Dream. So it's a lot of it's about. Drug use,
right?
And like, so, but Requiem for a Dream. If I look at that, I said that was my favorite film of all time, or like,
it was up there.
But it's because I found it so impactful. It was just so powerful.
Mm.
But I felt because it was written by Hubert Selby Jr., who'd experienced addiction and stuff in first hand and recovered. Its heart was in the right place. This I have concerns with. I feel like it's the portrayal of it. It's not always on the right side, if you like, if you get with me.
Is it glorifying things?
So I think sometimes it does step that way.
Yeah.
So, for instance, one of the, I think the episode two, Zed,
after Zenya?
whatever. What's his name?
I can't. I've been doing this whole time.
I just can't pronounce it. That's all.
Well,
Zendaya.
Let's go with that. That sounds very Zendaya. Exotic. Let's do that.
So her character, she's a recovering addict of, I don't know, she's taking like pills of some sort. And she says, oh, drugs are kind of cool. ... And she says something like, I shouldn't really say this, but drugs are kind of cool. And then it does lead on to like the counterbalance to showing that she had an overdose and her sister found her and stuff. But it does like show them having a good time and stuff. And I don't know. You'd have to watch it and make your own mind up, I feel. Mm. But I feel like it's very dodgy at times. So, but it's very relevant, it's very current, and it's dealing with like social media, it's dealing with like the use of technology in spreading rumours and whatnot and stuff. And I feel like other than that and 13 Reasons Why, it's the only thing that I've seen that's sort of dealt with that, you know. 13 Reasons Why, do you know of that as well? Have you seen that?
It's got all like themes of suicides and things like that. Yeah,
so similar to 13 Reasons Why, in that I don't always know. With 13 Reasons Why, I was so depressing, like it was so like hard hitting, but I wasn't always sure if that had good intentions sometimes.
Yeah.
And always this one comes up with a disclaimer at the start.
Does it, yeah.
And so did 13 Reasons Why. And the season 2 of 13 Reasons Why was awful, but I believe it got better in season 3. Season 1 was based on a book.
Right.
But I don't know. It's hard going. I find it quite depressing. First episode, I had to watch Toy Story 4 afterwards, just to counterbalance the gloom from it.
Yeah.
But you know, the character, it's well acted, well written. I just don't know. I've got problems with its moral code. Basically, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
What's its intentions? Is it just for controversy's sake, or has it got
sometimes those things, like it's you know, some things have to be shown and talked about, I guess, in some ways, and I guess drama is one way of doing it,
definitely,
but it's the writers and the makers have got a responsibility in that sense, I think. But some would say it's just artistic license, isn't it?
True. Do you think it's, and just going from what you're saying there, do you think it's like trying to be realistic in terms of, because like, I'm sure you do as well, I know people who take drugs and things like that and are perfectly fine and enjoy it, and you know, it hasn't destroyed their lives.
Yeah.
So is it? Do you think it's trying to show that side to it in terms of like the drugs?
Maybe. I'd suggest watching it, but make your own mind up.
Yeah.
13 Reasons Why was like, I mean, knowing that was shown around, they had the suicide rates were notably went up.
Did they?
Around different parts of the world, but that's one thing I've read, that like there's actually statistics to show where it was viewed.
Wow.
Because I remember being like watching it, and the state of mind it puts you in, it just I think if you were sort of in a poor mental state anyway, you know, it proper would like impact you. So the same with this. Yeah. I feel like it for certain people who are quite impressionable, it could have because there's always a discussion, isn't it, with like the Tarantino used to always get targeted with, like, you know, you're showing violence, you're glorifying violence and this, that and the other. With Euphoria, I do find it very difficult to watch, especially
the models of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So anyone else? Well, are you going to mention Toy Story 4 or?
Oh yeah, Toy Story 4 is awesome.
Love the new character, the spoon thing.
Fork is so amazing. Is the first time seeing it?
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that girl who's after the voice box to be more sinister. I thought she was going to snap, but she never did she?
No, she was just creepy. She's relatable, isn't she? In terms of like, she just wanted to be played with.
Yeah.
What's her name? Gabby.
Yeah.
See, I've read the book loads of times for the kids, so I know it inside out. Gabby. Duke Kaboom.
Enjoy him.
He's the little bike.
Oh yeah, the one.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. It was all good.
Yeah.
I think 2's my favourite.
Oh yeah.
Toy Story 2. That's the one with the Darth Vader type thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favourite. But and then I think 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, 1, 4. One special because that, like, I remember that coming out and just being like, it was one of the first CG, I think it was the first
it
CG.
Was first fully
animated.
Yeah.
And it still stands up, doesn't it? I think.
It does. It does look a bit ropey in places, yeah. Like the miles and stuff.
Which you'd expect, but.
Yeah, and if I remember last time I talked about it, the dog in it. Oh, the dog is awful. The dog in Toy Story 1, it looks atrocious. But the rest of it, it's and the story of it, and the structure of it, and the plot, and the pacing is perfect. I tend to agree. Toy Story 2 is like Toy Story 1, but done with a bit of a polish. I tend to agree. 3's got its own sort of story, hasn't it? Its own.
What are they going to do now? Are they going to like zone in on sub characters and flesh them out a bit? Do you reckon?
Yeah. Well, they do a little short anyway, don't they? So I think on Disney Plus there's a Forky asks questions and things like series, little 5-minute things. But the next film out is Buzz Lightyear, isn't it?
All right.
Where it's the character that the toy is based on. So it's like a proper action film.
Yeah, I think has there been trailers out?
Yeah.
I think I've seen the trailer.
So it looks a bit more realistic compared to the Toy Story. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. But the Darth Vader thing, the Zorg, he's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the new trailer, so yeah, that'd be good. Any more?
Janet Jackson documentary.
Okay.
And
we've just been joined by Richard Earlham. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are we?
All good. Alan's just talking through what he's been watching this week. So watch your next one, Alan.
Right.
I was just about to mention Janet Jackson, wasn't I? I've been watching her documentary.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really all that revelatory.
No, that's not the right word, is it? What's the word?
Can you say it, Richard, the one I'm looking for?
Like any revelations?
Revelatory.
Revealing.
It's not that revealing, yeah.
Let's go revealing.
but is interesting. And with her, right, I've always felt like she's a good singer and whatnot, but I never feel like she's proper singing live. And I always feel like they need to turn the volume of her vocals up a little bit. They always seem like quite whispery.
Yeah.
But she is like a massive, you know, pop culture player, I'd say. But when she was performing at Glastonbury a couple of years ago, I thought, like, someone of her calibre, the performance was just so lacklustre. It was like nothing. And Kylie Minogue was on the same bill. She was like on the Legends. I think they're both on the Legends slot.
Yeah.
Kylie Minogue just blew it out of the water. And they're both from the same generation as well.
Yeah.
Came out about 87.
Yeah.
That's like when they first blew up, both of them. But, It's interesting. It talks about she does talk about Michael Jackson quite a bit, so it's interesting for like that perspective.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson's always like blamed a lot of his problems on his dad. And this one, she kind of said that the Joe Jackson, you know, he did discipline us quite a bit,
yeah,
but he was always quite loving at the same time. So he kind of downplayed like that aspect of sort of because he always got. Michael Jackson was always like the reasons why he was so eccentric was because of he didn't have a childhood.
His upbringing, yeah.
But then I guess she was in a bit different position because she was like younger and her career took off a lot later when she sort of developed. So, you know, it is interesting. It's 4 episodes, about an hour long.
And what's this on, sorry?
This is on, it's on Disney, I think.
And what's it called? Is it just called?
Just called Janet Jackson. It's on Disney. It's on one of the streaming sites.
talks about the Super Bowl instance, Nipplegate.
Yeah, Nipplegate.
I'm still not convinced. What do you think about Nipplegate? Do you think that was contrived, or do you think it was an wardrobe malfunction?
Yeah, because we've talked about it in the past, haven't we? Mm. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was an accident, but you think somebody planned it?
Did you talk about how it just blew out of proportion? And because the Britney Spears documentary, Justin Timberlake has come into like scrutiny with like his decisions. But Janet Jackson said, you know, at the time, you stay quiet. This is all on me.
Oh yeah.
Don't worry about it. But she was like not invited to the Grammys where he was allowed to perform and stuff. When it was double standards because he literally did the, you know, he ripped the thing off her boob.
Yeah, but she was blamed for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he should have just got
the look on her face. The look on her face. It was. I thought it was all pre-done. She was sort of like it was all part of the act.
Well, yeah, because it's like I'll have you naked by the end of the song, then ripped it off.
Yeah.
But there's various reports that it wasn't meant to happen the way it happened. I've read that the lights were meant to go down, so you just meant to imply that something was happened.
Oh, right. Because there was meant to be something. Wasn't it meant to be a cover underneath what he ripped
off? Yeah,
he ripped
said.
Both covers off.
You don't go into that much detail about it. They just they say that about how it blew up out into like magnitude proportions. But it wasn't. I think it was just before, alongside Michael Jackson's second trial. So it was like they kind of indicate that because he was out getting tried at the same time, everyone was throwing it at him.
Him with the same stories and stuff.
Yeah. But it's interesting to see. It's not. I think it was an enjoyable watch. You know. I didn't know everything. I knew it already. You know, sort of thing. It didn't really.
So is she still going?
Yeah,
she's still making music.
She had a baby like 5 years ago. She was 50, right. 51.
Wow.
Yeah. And she did a tour, I think, 2 years ago. So she's still performing and stuff.
Still going.
But she, as I said, I feel like they always feel like they need to turn the volume of her voice up a little bit. You know, she's very.
Very whispery, yeah. Michael Jackson was like that near the end of his career. I felt like that. I know exactly what you mean. Mm. But very, like, yeah, very whispery and. Hard to understand. Yeah, she's always been like that, hasn't she, really?
At a Glastonbury performance, they didn't do... My favourite song of theirs is... Together Again.
Oh, yeah.
Together Again. And she never did it.
She never sang it?
No.
Probably couldn't. Couldn't perform it. Voice that couldn't handle it.
She did every other song, like...
Yeah. Strange, isn't
it? She had the same producer as Prince... Ted, I can't remember the names. Teddy Riley.
No, I don't know.
They produced Prince's first album, then they worked with Janet Jackson loads.
All right. Okay. Good stuff. Right, any more?
No, I'll give the listeners a break from hearing me.
No worries. All right, Richard, do you want to have a go? What have you been watching?
Yeah. Right, well, I'll do a quick one and then I'll go on to another one. So Maddie was 16 last September, and we always promised her that when she hit 16 we would watch a certain programme, and we started it the other day and I'm loving it. Guess what the programme is?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Now, I seem to be the only person on the face of the earth who's happy with how it ended. I'm more than happy, and I think I always stand by whatever they did, there's going to be half the population not happy with how they did it. But even though I know how everything goes, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. I'm spotting more things that I've missed. I mean, this is the third time I've watched it back to back.
Yeah.
I'm still learning and spotting more things. And... I think so many people are going to just end up growing to love it even more so. They're going to probably give it another shot. We're not giving it another shot, but we're watching it again. But I think they'll give it another shot and they'll think, you know what, it's not actually that bad. But what's brilliant is So many things I've forgotten about, and they keep coming back to me. Because as we all know, so much goes on in it. There's loads of stories going on, but key points that are massive, and I've just forgotten about them, and they keep coming back to me, and I keep shouting to Claire, oh, I've just remembered something else, which is great. And so the idea is that when we finish this, because I think we've just finished the first season, so we're doing it Saturday nights. We tried it Monday nights, but because Maddie's a panicker and revised us a lot, we thought, no, let's move to Saturday. So we're doing it Saturday nights now, and hopefully by the time we're finished, maybe the prequels are coming out sometime this year, yeah. I think. So we're going to have to do a bit of cramming, a bit of binge watching. But then when Alex is old enough, when he hits 16, we'll probably all start it all over again. So that'll be all four of us. And again, I don't care. I understand what goes on in it, and I'll still love it, and I will in another couple of years' time when he hits the age. I mean, has anybody else rewatched it since it finished?
No, I haven't. No.
Do you think is that because people have been disappointed, or just other things to watch?
Just other thing to watch, and it's not like it's pretty epic. Was it 9 seasons?
You know what? I can't remember. 73 episodes.
How are you watching it, Richard? Do you watch streaming it again, or you get on Blu-ray or something?
We got it on Blu-ray. I'm still. I mean, we had it on Blu-ray. All of them apart from 8. It's 8. There you go. 8 seasons.
There you go.
And the Blu-ray started hiccuping a little bit, so we went over to Now TV, and immediately the loss in quality of everything, colour, sound, depth, contrast, it was shocking. It really was shocking. The surround sound was just weak. So when you're streaming things, you definitely do lose stuff. And I'm going to start doing I'm going to do a tech moment. So right, here's my quick tech moment on Chat and Flicks. So insert a little intro theme tune here, okay? Brilliant. So yeah, we got Disney Plus, amazing picture, but the motion's horrendous. Really, really, really juddery, but such a crystal clear picture. So there's my tech moment for this week's Chat and Flicks. And then we've got an end music here. Okay, good. Brilliant. So there's a quick tech moment. Yeah, Disney Plus, God, the picture is astonishing. The sound's pretty good, but the motion's not good. I am still standing by iPlayer is the best. It is the best ultra high def.
Which
it's
one is BBC, did you say?
BBC.
Yeah, that's the best one.
It is. So, Prime, Netflix.
Prime, Robert. Oh, hello.
Yeah, Prime is all. Do any of our viewers have decent Prime experience?
Hold on a minute.
Richard.
Hang on a minute.
Richard.
Hang on a minute. We've been joined by James Brome. Hello, James Brome.
Hi, I've been there for quite a while, but I've just been listening to Richard's wonderful voice.
Sneaking in.
Well, now James is here, I'll go on, because I didn't want to spend too long about Games of Thrones, because we all know
can I just talk about Prime dead quick?
Go for it.
About what?
Can I just talk about Prime dead quick?
Yeah.
Go on.
That's what we were talking about, wasn't it? I think Prime's probably the worst for, like, obviously the visual and that, and the streaming time and the delay and all that. But I actually think, and I'd have this argument with anyone, is I think Prime is just generally the worst platform in terms of what content's on it and that, and for the price you pay, it's just not worth it. And I will be ending my Prime subscription soon.
Oh, yeah?
I keep saying it. And this conversation's reminded me to do it. I'm going to watch Rooney tonight, the new Wayne Rooney docu-film, and then I'm probably going to cancel it because there's been nothing on it now for years, and I'm paying money for it, and it's garbage.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever cancel mine. Do you, Carl?
I don't think so, no, Richard.
No. Well, it's the delivery thing. You get, like, the stuff in it.
Yeah. You do get Amazon Music as well, by the way. You get loads of stuff in it, and Amazon Photos, but
Amazon.
I don't use them.
But before James,
James,
are you staying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Because the main thing I want, so Game of Thrones. Let's move that aside for now. Main thing I wanted to talk about was something that James recommended. There's two things James recommended a long time ago. There's The Undoing and Your Honour. Now, I've started watching those, and we finished The Undoing, and it kept me guessing all along, and I was wrong, which is really annoying, but good. That shows how good it was.
So what's The Undoing? What was that one about?
The Undoing is... Oh God, I've got the other one all set up ready to talk about. Let's have a quick look. The Undoing is basically about, it's got Hugh Grant in, and his wife is, come on James, help me here.
Nicole Kidman.
And it's sold as a whodunit. So it's all based around school, correct me if I'm wrong here, James, and there's basically a committee for school fundraising, and there's a new mum who joins the group, and she is murdered, and it's a whodunit of who's murdered her. Lots of things going on, lots of twists and turns, but no spoilies, but it got me guessing all along. James, did you guess it? I thought it
really brilliant, and that's the main thing about it, really, the guessing and not knowing who it is, and then thinking, oh, it's got to be that person, It's not that person, but it might be that person. It's like it is constantly moving all the time, because it's so obvious at times who it is, but then it's so, oh, it couldn't possibly be, do you know what I mean, and then it's not as obvious. Yeah, it's really, really good. I think, to be honest with you as well, I think the acting's absolutely brilliant in it. Hugh Grant's superb in it. Nicole Kidman's boss. The other fellow who plays Nicole Kidman's daddy, he's really good in it as well, isn't he?
Is it Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, that's it, yeah, that's it. So he's really, really good in it, but I'd highly recommend that to anyone. Yeah, I love things like that. It's a HBO show, isn't it? So HBO shows are always top. I always think they're brilliant, to be honest with you. Really good.
And the other one that you recommended was Your Honour. Now, we're in the middle of that at the moment, and it's just like a nightmare. So the scenario of this, and again, I'm not going to go over too much in detail because James has done it before. A judge's son is involved in a hit and run, and this is all included in the trailer, so no spoilers. The hit and run is, the guy who dies in it is basically one of the mob bosses' son, and it's just a nightmare. The judge tries to cover it up, and that's, in essence, that's the story. He's covered it up, and how is he going to get away with it? Can he get away with it? But James, it's just like a nightmare. Everything's going on. It's just
absolutely amazing, and if you find yourself, like, your heart rate, it actually sets anyone a challenge, but if anyone watches it, measure your resting heart rate at the start of watching it, and then measure it, like, at the end of an episode, and trust me, it'll have gone up, because it just literally leaves you like, oh my God, all the time. It's great. I love programmes like that.
Very, very good. And so Bryan Cranston's the judge, he's playing the judge. The only thing that I find is not annoying, but it's my own problem, is that the mob boss was in one of the Men in Black films. I think it was the third film. The strange guy who can see into the future, but he sees multiple futures, and he's a really oddball character. And I just keep seeing him instead of this mean, evil, nasty mob guy.
Richard, I second that. He actually does ruin it. He doesn't ruin it for the same reason as that for me. But it's like he's doing a mixture between James Gandolfini, version of Tony Soprano, and Robert De Niro in Goodfellas. He's like a mixture of them two, but it's so blatant. And he's trying to be like your typical mob boss. It's a bit cringy at times.
But so we're about halfway through that, and it's really, really good. So very, very highly recommended, I'd say, more so than The Undoing, because it's a tough watch. It's a really tough watch. Mm. Not a massive cast aside from him. There's a couple of other people you'll recommend, that you'll recognise, but really, really good.
Is that on Now TV, is it, Richard?
That's another Now TV. Yeah, both of those are Now TV.
Yeah. We're big enough so Now TV today, aren't we?
You can watch that, or you can watch Pam and Tommy.
I think the Jet Jackson was on Now TV as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, there you go. Is that you for now, Richard? Do you want to give someone else a go?
No. Go give somebody else a go.
Go on, James. You want to knock us out?
He set me up there, hasn't he, with that one? So, I think it's important to explain this one to anyone who's listening. So myself and my wife have been watching the new Disney Plus, but it's slash it's Hulu TV series, Pam and Tommy. Now, obviously, to put it into context, you know, without going into too much detail, it's about an inappropriate tape that was stolen and, you know, someone made lots of money off it and all that. But I just think it's really, at times, it's really, really funny. And it's Seth Rogen, it's one of Seth Rogen's bits of work, really. He's in it, he's the lead man in it. But the casting's really, really good, and it's really funny. But then it shows you like little stuff. Obviously, there's loads of stuff about the story, and I don't want to go into it too much, obviously, because of our listeners and that. But if you know what it is, you know what it is. But the story of like how it affected Pamela Anderson and how upset she was and what she was going through at the time, and how people were making so much money, a lot of money off their own private story, shall we say. And it was just, yeah, it's we're watching that. It's one of the most trending things in the country, well, in the world at the minute, isn't it? A lot of people are watching it.
Yeah.
It's on Billboard. It's not like a pervy thing or anything like that. It is there's well-known actors and actresses in and stuff like that. It is. But yeah, we've been watching that, and listen, it's not going to be exceptional because the story's not exceptional, but it's quite light-hearted, and it's just something to watch. But I just can't believe the one thing that's surprised me about it, and I've seen a lot of people saying this on social media, is how it's got the okay to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I cannot understand that. Now, like, my nieces, they have access to Disney Plus, and it's literally, you go on Disney Plus, you can do it right now if you're at home, and go on Disney Plus, and it's the first thing that comes up on the promotions on the top.
Yeah.
Now it is so.
Can I say on Disney Plus you can put the age settings on, so like if I go on to Thomas's setting on mine, it's not mentioned, it's all the kid stuff, so there are parental controls on it so that none of that's seen. Yeah, because
it's so, don't get me wrong, because of the context of what it's about, there's so much of it's rude. So much of it's rude and inappropriate, and you think, oh, God forbid, if like, you know, someone of the wrong age seeing that, and I don't know, it's for all the talk and all the hype, it's worth a watch. It's not exceptional, I'm not going to sit here, but it's a typical Seth Rogen type thing.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen playing Seth Rogen like he does in many films. The typical, the stoner, sort of downtrodden type man, he plays that same role again.
I've seen the first episode, James. I thought it was all right. I watched it last night, the first episode of Pam and Tommy.
So that Lily James has been touted, is she any good in it? Like, because I've heard people talking about her, innit? She looks the part, innit?
She looks the part. It's not, as I said, it's not really about Pam and Tommy.
Oh,
it's actually not really about them. So they look like them, and they play what you can imagine to be like quite well. But it's more about Seth Rogen's character, really.
Right.
It's his story. You know, without giving it away, no spoilers. He's the guy who's got the tape.
Yeah.
It's how he got the tape, and how it's like, it's mad to think, it was like, you know, how the internet was used and all that, and like, and how much money was made, and then how other people were making money. And as I said, but that's the best way to explain it, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, and it almost feels fictional, like I remember that the video, everyone talking about it, and it's like, you know, getting discussed, like,
yeah,
but when it's portrayed, it feels like it's a story, like it's someone's written it.
It couldn't have actually happened.
It's
just one of those. As I said, I'm not gonna rave about it. It's not, you know, it's not the best thing I've watched recently, because I'm going to talk about that in a second, but it's for all the hype, it's worth a watch. It's new episodes are getting put on every Wednesday, so the first three got put on, we watched them, and then they put dropping one on every week, so we watched the most recent episode yesterday, and it was a little bit more serious and less crude and stuff like that. It was a little bit more about, you know, Pamela and what she had to go through, and, you know, she was having her own issues going on in her life while all this was happening, and, you know, it was a little bit emotional, shall we say. Not as crude and silly, so maybe we're going to see a bit more of that, but as I said, it is what it is, and it's about what it's about, and it's a little bit of pop culture history, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Can I talk about the best thing I've watched recently?
Go on then, go for it.
Right, so Richard knows this because I went to see him first the other day just to tell him this. Yeah. So I'm going to say it wrong, but you'll know what I mean when I say it. Right, it's the one that's called The Lady Across the Street Who's Looking Through the Window or something like that on Netflix. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm about.
Go on, I'll find the title.
The Lady Across the Street That's Looking Through the Window.
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
It's genuinely called. Yeah, it's like
I've seen it advertised.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come up here. Where is it?
And it's absolutely brilliant for loads of reasons I'll talk about. But it's literally about a lady who's got a drink problem. She medicates herself. She's on tablets and stuff. She's going through a really tough time. She's recently lost her daughter through an absolute tragedy, which I won't tell you about because it's horrific. And when you see it, you know it's part of the story. And she lost her daughter, she lost her husband, and she's just really, you know, in meltdown, and she drinks bottles of wine, and she just watches the world go by from a window. And as it happens, one night she watches a crime happen, and no one believes her, because they think, oh, she's just a drunk, who's on drugs and all this.
Yeah.
Ripped of drugs, and it's that story. But what's brilliant about it, I said it to Carl or Richard, I can't remember, it's very much, I put out a message to you guys the other day saying, has anyone got a film to recommend, like a thriller or something? And I think a couple of people got back to me in different group chats, a couple of people didn't get back to me, but it was like, it was that one, but people recommended it, and it's like, it's a TV series, so it's 8 episodes, but each episode's only 25 minutes long, so when you put them together, and the way, the narrative, and the way it flows, the series, it flows like you're watching a film that's being paused. But not in a negative way. It cuts at the right times, but it feels like a film. The acting feels like a film. The camera angles, everything just feels like a film. It doesn't feel like a TV series. So that is one I'd highly recommend. And if said, like it's you know, it's been spoken highly of. People are often referring to it that one I've said, because it's that long in the title. People don't know actually how to say it right.
So it's called. And I was trying to get back up. The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window.
Is that, there you go. That's the actual title.
There you go.
But it's honestly, guys, honestly, I would not say it otherwise. It's really good. You get what you get from the suspense and the twist and that in it. It's great. It's you get what you want. And it's like you're watching a film split into sections. It's really, really good. And then... yeah. So, has anyone seen it?
No. Is it a bit of a parody, James? Like, is it like in the vein of Scream, where it's sort of taking the piss out of horror
it's
films?
Not.
It's genuine.
It's not. You know, Carl.
No, because that's the way it's sort of portrayed.
I know. That's the way it comes across when you watch the trailer.
Yeah.
It's a straight up like murder mystery thriller with a bit of comedy in. It's honestly, because it's explained as like a dark comedy, and then people think it's a bit like, as you said, a bit like Scream. It's not. It is really, it's serious. I said it's a straight up murder mystery thriller. You know, but there is a little bit of comedy because, you know, little things happen that are a little bit funny in it. That's it. But it is. It's really, really good. Honestly, I'd highly recommend it. I think they don't sell it the right way. I think the trailer doesn't do it justice. Honestly, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, and even the title sounds like, you know, like I'm thinking of "Don't Drink Your Juice in the Hood." Well, what is it? What's that film? Boys in the Hood. What's Skits? Boys in the Hood. Don't be a menace to society while drinking your juice in the hood. It looks like that sort of title, doesn't it? It looks like it's taking the piss.
Yeah, it's not. Honestly, I promise you, it really isn't. It's a proper, like, thriller. It's like what I was asking for the other night. It's like a thriller, murder mystery, but there is an element of, little element of, like, a little bit too scary as well, but there's comedy in there as well.
It's
definitely good.
It's like got three titles, and it's one title, isn't it? Because you could have The Woman in the House, you could have Across the Street, and you could have The Girl in the Window. Well, yeah, the woman in the house across the street.
Three films in one.
But it's defo worth a watch. Honestly, it's better than Pam and Tommy. It really is. It's good. It is really, really good.
Yeah.
But then, can I talk about my last one?
Go for it.
My last one, sorry, because I have watched quite a bit lately. And the last one, and you've probably seen it, and it's the number one trending thing on Netflix. Have you mentioned it?
No. What is it?
the Tinder Swindler.
Oh yeah,
I watched the end of it. It came in the end of it.
Did you? So you missed the whole story?
Well, I've got it explained to me.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So Tinder Swindler is just an absolute... It's a docu-film. It's on for like 2 hours and a bit. It's on for a long time. And it's absolutely just... You can't believe it's reality. You can't believe it happened. There are faults to it. I think it's on for far too long. I think the way the stories are told, I think they're a bit boring. It's just like the ladies who he's conned the sat opposite, and they just tell the story. I think it could have been done a lot better, but the general story is just absolutely gobsmacking. It's a story of a man who's a con man, who portrays himself to be this billionaire, prince to a diamond company, and he literally just cons people to send him money, and then his whole persona, his whole lifestyle is paid for by other people who he's conning. He's such a con man. It's just an ultimate con man's tale, really, and he's just, and how he gets away with it, and how he makes his money, and how people are still in debt because of him now, and he's out in the world still living a great life. He's the ultimate con man. Yeah. When I'm talking about money, I'm talking the lifestyle is a billionaire's lifestyle. You know, not a millionaire's lifestyle, we're talking a billionaire's lifestyle. So that's how many women he's conning and getting them to lend him money and stuff like that. I don't know whether you've seen the meme, but there's a meme where it's got a picture of him. You might have seen it. It's got a picture of him sat in a car, and it goes, we all know a guy like this, and it's got a picture of him who's like the ultimate con man. It says, you pay for the taxis that get the drinks when we're in there.
Oh, is that, I've seen that meme, yeah, is that him, yeah?
Yeah, because we've all met someone like that, haven't we? It never happens, you never get those drinks off the person, you pay for the 20 quid taxi.
But yeah, definitely worth it, James. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just literally, as I said, it could have been done better, and it's very long-winded. And you think, all right, come on, do you know what I mean? But it's absolutely, you just can't believe it. You just can't believe this thing's actually happened.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gobsmacking.
You'd be like paying. It'd be like cheating on one woman. And getting the woman he's cheating on to pay for the meal or the flight for the other woman he's like,
he's basically got loads of girlfriends. Like, he's probably got loads, like only a few have come forward, but for the lifestyle he's portraying, he's obviously got about 20, 30, 40 girls on the go. And what he's doing, he's telling them all the same tale. So he'll have met them and spent the money that he's had from someone else on them. So he's got this private jet and he's got these bodyguards and all that. But then what he'll do is he'll start going, right, I want to like hook, line and sinker with him. He'll start going, oh, can we, you know, I need you to send me that money because he can't get out. So he'll transfer him like 40 grand or whatever. And then he'll go and spend it on the next girl. And then that girl becomes the one he asks for, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, you just can't believe it. Proper bamboozling, like.
But it happens, though. It's obviously like a true story, isn't it?
True story.
It is mad because...
It's just an absolute con man. Yeah. But like, as I said, a billionaire con man.
They do prey on these, like, not necessarily vulnerable people, but in a position
where
people want
love. Girls don't come across all that vulnerable, though, do they? To me,
that's what I'm saying.
He's gone for like these. What did you think, James?
He definitely had a type of girl just based off that. But as you said, they weren't soft.
They were quite well off, the women he'd go for, and they were quite, you know, they had like quite influential jobs, say, as well.
Right.
They had good jobs, and they seem like strong characters, but obviously, you know, they've been built along the line by him, haven't they? And a lot of these women are still paying his debts now and all that, and he's still living a great lifestyle and stuff like that. So he's just an absolute con man. He's just an absolute con man. But it's a fascinating story. That is called The Tinder Swindler. I think that's what it's called. And that's number one on Netflix. So that's
In terms
of platforms, like the most talked about things are That Tinder Swindler. Pam and Tommy's one as well. I think Rooney is the thing that's come out today. That's in the charts. And everyone's raving about that.
Yeah.
I've not watched that. A lot of people talking about that today, but definitely Tinder Swindler is definitely worth a watch just because of how strange it is.
Yeah, and because it's a true story, it's always
more unbelievable. Honestly, you'd be absolutely flabbergasted, mate. It's just mad.
Yeah. Sound. Mm. Well, can I tell you what I've been watching? It's again, it's a Netflix one. It's probably might be Netflix's biggest show of all time. I finally watched The Squid Game, and I actually polished it
all
off
the way through
within a week, and that's quite rare for me to watch them all. So you've seen it, haven't you? Richard, you've seen it, haven't you?
But yeah.
James, you haven't watched it yet, have you? So
no.
Yeah, but I won't say too much about like in terms of the plot. But yeah, it basically is a group of people who have debts, and then they get approached by a mysterious person, and then they play this little betting game, and then they get invited to the Squid Game basically, and then they're put in a room with I think it's like 250 people or something, and then they play the first game, and then they realise if you lose the game you're getting killed, and it follows on like that, and it follows what's the guy's name, I can't remember his name, but this Korean guy, and he's got a daughter, and he can't afford presents for his daughter, and he's just a bit of a lowlife really, isn't he?
Mm.
He's sort of
and they're emigrating to America, aren't they?
That's right, yeah, they're leaving, and he's got no money to sort of follow them or pay for them or anything like that to go and see them. And it's just a tale of the game and like the mystery of the game and who's running the game and what's going to happen with the actual child games in there. And then, again, without giving too much away, there's someone, like a cop, infiltrates the Squid Game itself. And, yeah, it's just... It's brilliant. The premise is dead simple, but it's really, really fascinating to think, like, what would you do in that situation? You know, like, some people are killing their friends, and then there's one bit where a husband has to let his wife die and things like this.
Yeah.
People are sacrificing themselves to kill other people, and it's just, it's fascinating. What you would, it's like a mix of Big Brother and Battle Royale.
Yes.
I was thinking, though, like, I watched it with dubbed and with the subtitles because I think like that's what people recommended. And the dub voice acting is a little bit off-putting. But I was thinking, but that's probably how they speak in Korea. You know, like, but that's the way the inflections of the sentences and things like that. It's hard to explain, but...
I just got used to it.
Once you get into it, it's all right. It's not like, oh my God, I can't watch this. It's totally off-putting. But like...
What I like is a couple of them recently, I think they started off in Kingdom when Lee and I were talking about it, is that the actors do the English dubbing. So, you know, when you look at some big burly fella and he's got a strange voice and it's like, that doesn't match. Whereas this, in Kingdom, they actually have, they're doing their own dubbing. And they've done that recently in something else, but I can't think what it is. It's the Chestnut Man. Which is, I'm not going to talk about it, but it's something else on Now TV. No, sorry, Netflix.
Oh, right, never heard of it.
Yeah, they do their own book. And it's so much better because they know what they're saying, they know how they're saying it, they know how it should be said.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't totally off-putting, but I just thought I'd mention it because I thought that's quite. I wonder if it's because of the way Korean languages is spoken basically, but yeah, James, I would recommend this. You know, I think you've got to watch it. Even like, it is gruesome and it is a hard watch sometimes, and it is, you know, a bit depressing at times. But it's so good. It's got loads of twists and turns on it.
What jar in the car was it fit into?
What is it like? I don't know, like a thriller?
Dystopian?
No, I don't know.
Dystopian, I'd say.
Dystopian. Action? No, I don't know.
That's why I said it give me reminiscence of Copper Collins, because it's got like this social experimentation in it.
And
it plays the weird music in instances.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something about it. Just I don't know what genre we put in.
So I never really quite understand when people talk about Squid Game. I was like, try and explain it to me what it's about, and then I can never sort of get it. I always leave the question still unsure.
So haven't I just told you now?
No one ever like explains it properly.
Because you
just watch it.
Yeah, because you don't want to give too much away. But it is basically that. It's a load of people who owe money to, you know, are down, have zero money and owe money out, have loads of debts.
Okay.
And they get approached to play this game to win their debts paid off.
Right, okay.
But then the twist is, obviously, if you lose one of the rounds, there's like 6 or 7 rounds, if you lose one of the rounds, you get killed, basically. That's what
like saw type thing.
A little bit, but it's voluntary. Yeah,
bit like Big Brother meets
yeah.
ITV Gladiators
yeah.
from the 90s.
Meets like Wipeout.
Yeah. yeah. meets Run the Risk.
run the Risk. Yeah. That's a flash like, in the past.
You ready to run? Run the Risk.
You're probably too young for Run the Risk, James.
Look it up on YouTube. Probably on YouTube.
Yeah. But yeah. Definitely recommend Squid Game. And I did put it off and off and off, and I did think, is it just a big, like, is it just a hype of it? And no, it is actually very good. I don't know whether it should be the best program on Netflix ever, you know, highest grossing, whatever it is, but it's very good and it's worth a watch. And without giving too much away,
you were a bit hesitant though as well. Where yeah. I remember talking about it, and you were a bit like, eh.
Well, that's it. I didn't want to just watch it just because everyone else watched it. I'm weird like that. But I was waiting for Lauren to watch it, and then she went, "I'm not going to watch it." I went, "All right." And then she watched the last episode with me. I was like, "We could just watch the whole thing."
There's got to be a season two.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's
made that much money.
It's got. There's got to be a season two, and it's open to it, and it's not. Doesn't spoil it saying that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, I am.
It's very, very interesting. Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah.
It's certainly the most talked about one.
Definitely.
Isn't it the most talked about Netflix show of all time? Definitely.
Yeah.
I've never heard as many people go on about a Netflix show ever.
Yeah. It's at the point now where it's iconic, you know, like the suits and the masks and things like that. It's at that point, it is iconic. You look at it and you go, oh, yeah, I understand. And the doll, you know, things like that.
James and Richard, you went on when I was talking about Euphoria. Have you heard people speaking about it as well?
No, I've not heard it. No.
Oh, well.
You have to listen to the start, then.
Yeah, listen to the start. It's
Is it worth listening to now?
Yeah, you should be listening to Chatterflix anyway.
Yeah, everyone's listening to Chatterflix.
It gets good rating.
It does. Can I talk about another one? I've got two more to talk about, but I'll start the next one. So, the next film I've watched is Another Round. So, and I've been wanting to watch this for a while. Has anyone seen it?
No.
I've heard it.
Yeah, I've lent it to Richard. So, it's Another Round is Mads Mikkelsen, and he plays a sort of high school teacher in the country of origin where he lives, which is Denmark.
Is it
Denmark? I think it is. It's in Danish, you know, the foreign language film. And he plays a high school teacher who's sort of like.
I reckon that's a subgenre we should do a pod on. Like,
yeah,
films based on teachers or education.
Teachers, yeah. So he's basically a teacher, and I think it's business. It's history, sorry. And he's a bit down on the dumps. You know, he just sort of sits in the class. He turns up, and that's it. He's not sort of engaged in the kids, and the kids are bored, and he just hates being there. He's just turning up for the paycheck. So then, it sounds familiar to some people, but and then his mate suggests to him that he's read this research where the human body, I don't know how true this is, by the way, but the human body requires a certain percentage level of alcohol in their body in order to function and be happy. So they do this experiment where they start to drink during the day, basically, and they say, well, we'll do it like a job. We'll drink during the day, and then at the weekend we won't drink. So we only drink because we're trying to be productive. And it's about, like, it's the outcomes of what happens with that. And do you know what? It is good. It wasn't as good as I expected to be. Mads Mikkelsen's brilliant. He's brilliant in everything, you know what I mean? But he's really good. He carries this film. And he sort of has problems with his wife and things like that.
What else has he been in?
Well, he was in Casino Royale.
Oh, he right, was in yeah.
Hannibal.
Yeah, I know what you mean now. I know what you mean.
Yeah, so really, really good. And yeah, really enjoyed it.
He's going to be in Fantastic Beasts, isn't he?
Yes, he's taken over from Johnny Depp, isn't he? Yeah,
exactly. You mean no.
And yeah, it's good. Now, the ending, not without, I know you're going to watch it, Richard, without spoiling it, but the ending, I was a little bit, that's it. That was the ending. It was just like sort of, it was a shit ending, really. But yeah, as a film, it was good. And, it, you know, a little bit sad, a little bit depressing in points. But yeah, it was good and interesting and worth a watch. And as I say, Mads Mikkelsen. It is brilliant, isn't it? He's very understated in this film. So it's good. So my next thing I was going to talk about, and I don't think anyone's watched this, and I think... I did lend this to you, Rich, as well. So is Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Has anyone seen
it?
I've lent that to you. I'm like, has anyone seen this one yet?
No.
No, no. So it's the sequel to Venom starring Tom Hardy. So Marvel superhero / supervillain / anti-hero. Based in the sort of Spider-Man universe. It's the sequel. And it's got Woody Harrelson, who plays Clay. Cassius Clay, but something like that. Something like that, anyway. And he's a prisoner who's on death row. And he ends up getting part of the symbiote, which Tom Hardy had from the first film, to become Venom. So he becomes sort of an anti-Venom. He becomes like a villain, the villain Carnage. And I think this is well better than the first one. The first one I liked, and we all talked about it when it came out, and we sort of said it was all right, it was okay, but it wasn't really, you know, very flashy or very good. This is well better. The best thing of the first film, I felt, was the relationship between Venom and Tom Hardy's character, Eddie Brock. Like, you know, them bickering between themselves. But that only really happened at the second half of the film. This is the whole film of that. And with your standard superhero shenanigans going on. I thought the CGI was great. And, yeah, really impressed with it. And it's a far better film. Looking at the ratings, I don't know if it's got better. It's got 6 out of 10 on IMDb. I don't know what Venom got, but I would put it more towards 7, really. It's better than the first one. And I didn't mind the first one, but it just wasn't great. I'm just going to see what the first one got in terms of IMDb. Yeah, 6.7. So I'd put this one as 7. Yeah, definitely worth a watch and definitely more enjoyable than the first one.
Carl, I've got a question about Venom, right? So where does Venom fit into the Spider-Man universe? Where does he fit in?
Yeah. So in terms of the films, it's a separate thing to Spider-Man, but I'll come back to that in a second.
So
in terms of the comics,
remember in the cartoon,
the
cartoon series, the symbiote latches on to Peter Parker first, and then it leaves Peter Parker. He has like a fight with it, doesn't he, sort of thing?
Yeah.
And it goes to Brock.
Yeah, Eddie Brock.
And they do that in Spider-Man 3, don't they? They play that sort of scenario.
Yeah.
But in this, it's just gone to Eddie Brock straight away.
Yeah, so there's no Spider-Man in this film. Well, I'll come back to that in a second. So it's just, it goes straight to Eddie Brock. And then they start working together because he's like a journalist and he starts helping him. So that happens in the first one. And then the second one, he's still a journalist and like they're sort of living together. So it's like them trying to, without killing each other, literally, they've got to live together, basically.
Is he a human or is he a creature?
So Eddie Brock's a human, but the Venom, like the suit is a creature. It's like an alien. It's like a goo that goes on your body. And it heals him and stuff like that.
Have you not seen Spider-Man 3, James?
I have seen it, but I can't remember it at all.
Yeah, it's like the black suit, basically. The black suit Spider-Man, basically. And so, the reason I say there's no Spider-Man in this, but there is because, and this is a spoiler, at the very, very end, after the credits, there's a link in to the newest Spider-Man film, which is Far From Home. Yeah.
No Way Home,
sorry. So it links in with Tom Holland's.
And then the end of No Way Home.
Yeah, at the end of No Way Home again. Yeah. So Venom's in that. So there is a link, but it's not a spoilers link. If that makes sense. But yeah, I would recommend Venom 2. I mean, definitely watch Venom 1 if you're gonna watch Venom 2, but I enjoyed Venom 2 a lot more just because of the relationship between Eddie Brock, Tom Holland, and Tom Hardy, and the suit. It was really good. Any more? Any thoughts, anyone?
I think I need to watch that Spider-Man 3 again, to be honest, because I've not seen any of the Venom, and I'm still struggling to place it.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother with Spider-Man 3. You can watch this without watching it. It's not like a lead-on.
Yeah.
It's like a reboot.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, you shouldn't be watching this. You should be watching, what's the next one? Thor 2.
Well, another story from the new Spider-Man, because I'm all up to date with that.
Yeah, that's true. So basically, so the end of Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, Eddie Brock looks on the telly and he sees that Peter Parker's Spider-Man, from the end of the second Spider-Man you watched.
Yeah, yeah.
So he sees that basically. So that's where the link is.
Right, okay.
So there you go. But anyway, enough superheroes for now. Anyone else got anything you want to talk about?
Yeah.
I think we're all good. All right, should we end it there, chaps?
Yeah.
Happy days. So
I think I've got one question for Alan.
Go for it.
Well, it's not just for Alan, by the way. I just thought Alan might be able to answer a bit more. So DC, obviously, we've been hypercritical on DC, haven't we, for a while? But I think this is the year where DC up their ante. So they're doing a Super Bowl preview. That's going to be out with all the things, and it's called like the year of the superhero or something. But it's basically DC relaunching themselves, I think, effectively. And it's basically it'll have the Batman on it, which I can't wait for, which hopefully we're all going to see together. So that the Batman, the Flash, and then there was another fella who had never heard of, but it was The Rock. So The Rock is playing someone. Who is that, Alan?
No idea.
I'll tell you. It's Black Adam. So Black Adam is he's like a bad version of Shazam.
So
did you watch Shazam?
No.
No, it's worth a watch. I liked it. It was good. It was good, that one.
So it's like the sequel to Shazam.
Yeah. So it's like a different version of, it's like an evil version of Shazam, but he's a hero.
That's okay.
He's like an anti-hero.
Because I do feel like DC, and especially even with the promo, if you look about this DC, I do think they're trying to change themselves. I think they know they've made a few blunders over the last few years. I think they're trying to get the stuff in order, aren't they, and sort themselves out. And I think that's good to hear. There's a lot of things coming out. I know the new Joker's being commissioned, and I think they're going to start work on it, I think, soon, later, like June, July, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that's amazing, and then obviously we've got the other thing that's coming out, where you've got Michael Keaton in it, and stuff like that, so, and Thingo will be in it, won't he, as well,
Ben Affleck.
It seems like, don't get me wrong, it's still confusing. Like, I don't think the Marvel Universe is anywhere near as confusing as the DC one, but yeah. I think have had a spring clean, and I think they are trying to sort themselves out this year.
Well,
DC have got no excuse to be as confusing, because with Marvel, they've had to deal with different ownership of their
characters. Yeah,
characters. With DC, it's all been owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that's it.
So they're just with the making missteps, isn't it? Throughout.
Let's be honest, we've said it loads, and I don't want to keep going on about it. They've just done it so wrong, haven't they? And I think they've had a lot of shocking films as well. Let's get that right as well. And they've had a lot of poor films. And I think they've allowed that because of, you know, I don't think they've had any structure. You know, the way all these Marvel films, like, sometimes they just blow your mind, don't they? The way they link in, and that's why I was interested with the Venom bit there. But the way they all tie in, and like the end thing, and they have like these formulas they follow, and it all ties in, it almost blows your mind in some ways, doesn't it? Like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
DC just feel like they're all over the place, and like it's like none of it makes sense, but it does make sense. So it's weird. Yeah. I think they are, as I said, and I use that spring clean analogy, but I do feel like they are trying to sort themselves out, and I think they are going things. I think you'll be happy to know, Carl. I think they definitely, with the like the Batman thing, they're doing like a lot of standalone stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I watched an interview the other day, watched a little section of interview with Robert Pattinson, and he said, like, I've only seen a little snippet clip, but he said, like, he's willing to come back if people want to see him. So he's not done with it if this is successful and he's well received. But it's funny you're saying about
statement.
You know the way, like, it's funny you're saying, like, you know, the way you can tell the difference between the Marvel and DC, the way the structures and stuff, because that's what the comics were like. You know, there's a thing called the Marvel way, and that's one of the things, is like it's all connected, whereas DC's always been a bit disjointed. Even the comics have been like that, really.
It's just something where it's frustrating, because it's so brilliant. Like, Batman is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Wonder Woman is amazing. Superman is amazing. All these people are amazing, but in the part of a universe thing, it's just not working, is it?
Yeah.
And it needs to, hopefully, as I said, they're sorting it out. But I said just earlier on, bold statements, I don't know whether you've ever seen, so the Batman, whoever it was, DC released, didn't he, that clip?
It's out there for the public. It's not like robbed or anything. It's being put out there. Mm. And it was just a clip of the movie. It was a couple of minutes long, actually.
What was it? Yeah, I'm seeing it.
Oh my god! And it was talking about, you just get the vibes. And I thought vibes is a word that a lot of people use today. I thought they were like the vibes, and the vibe off that was wow. I thought this is going to be good.
Oh, so,
just off a bit of dialect, and just a couple of like, just like seeing the visuals, and I just thought this is gonna be good. And I think he's gonna smash it. I really, really do. I hope he does, and I think he will.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good, like. Yeah, definitely.
Love Batman.
Mm. All right, any more to talk about that? All right, we'll finish there. So thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate all your listens. If you want to get in contact, we're on all socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or you can email us, chatandflicks@hotmail.com. I'm Richard Dalen. What's our next episode?
It's going to be films about teachers.
All right, okay. Teaching films? Teachers films? Okay.
That was just because that's what Alan said before. I've got a more of a laugh.
I thought it was going to be Forrest Gump.
I thought you were being serious.
I thought you was.
No, all right, then, yeah,
we'll
do films about teachers.
Well, would you
think?
We are
just.
I thought it was going to be Forrest Gump as well. But yeah, come on, James, you can do an actor special if you want.
We'll edit it.
What do you mean we'll edit it? We won't, we'll leave this all in. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.